Warning, the Doug Hagan Radio Show, if you're left to Disney right, has been deemed offensive to liberals, leftists, communists, Marxists, neo-Marxists, socialists, Obamianists, Maoists, Stalinists, Leninists, Castroists, Little Kim over in North Korea, and Union Thugs, supporters of Union Thugs, Rahm Emanuel, Michelle Obama, Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi's too tightly stretched skin, and Ed Schultz and the entire cast of MSNBC, Douchebags on Parade, Nightly, Lineup. For the rest of you, welcome. It's time for If You're Left, You Just Ain't Right. Liberal whiners need not apply. Hello again, everybody. Welcome to If You're Left, You Just Ain't Right. I am Doug Hagan. This is the best damn show on cyber radio, on the best damn cyber radio network, ChimpC Radio Network. If you're not here each and every Monday night and for all the other shows in the ChimpC lineup, you ought to be. We talk about things here that regular talk radio hosts are too scared to talk about. We're going to talk about Michelle Obama versus Jell-O. We're going to talk about the most over-the-top political statement you've ever heard in your life. We're going to have a weird sex story involving teens and pole dancing. And no, one of them is not named Miley Cyrus. We're going to talk about Amnesty International bashing Israel. Here they go again. We're going to talk about shenanigans from Obama. We're going to talk about waivers. We're going to talk about thing after thing after thing that you need to know about. Surprises this week. You're going to be surprised at some of the content. And it all starts right about now. Come with us. Enjoy. And welcome back, my friends, to this week's edition, the March Madness edition, the college football national, college basketball, national title will be determined tonight. Butler plays UConn. You can actually watch the show while you listen to this show. I hope Butler wins, but I feel that UConn will. Just so you get my prediction. And you know what? I think it'd be great if you could, Butler won, because I want to see a smaller school win this thing. I'm tired of all the usual suspects winning. And March Madness truly is one of the great, great, great sporting experiences any sports fan can have. March and April may be the two best months of all for sports. You've got March Madness in college basketball, all leading to the tournament, and then the championship determined in early April when the Final Four is played. You've got the NFL draft. You've got Major League Baseball season opening. You've got the playoffs beginning, the season winding down and beginning of the playoffs in the NBA and National Hockey League. And the National Hockey League Stanley Cup playoffs, absolutely the best playoff on God's green earth in the history of sports. It's not even close. NBA is pretty good too, but there's a lot more drama in hockey. People who say hockey are boring don't understand hockey. Golf is a boring sport. NASCAR is a boring sport. Bowling is a boring sport. National Hockey League is not. Now, let's start off this week with a story from my blog, The Daily Gator. That is located at dailygator.wordpress.com. Edward Daly and myself host that blog flawlessly, I might add. And when you talk about the most over-the-top political statement ever, I mean, that covers a huge lot of ground. That's a huge statement to make. But listen closely. As I wrote just days ago on my blog, simply mind-blowing that anyone could make the following statement or expect anyone to believe such a statement. This comes via the Daily Caller. As the battle over budget cuts continues on Capitol Hill, the head of one federal agency told lawmakers the budget cuts Republicans are fighting for, listen closely, get your hip waders on. The budget cuts Republicans are fighting for would result in the deaths of 70,000 children. You know, this is the Democrats, and everything liberal Democrats do is for the children. And they're always throwing these fear-mongering, panic-mongering terms and slogans and expressions out there. Now, who is the douchebag that said this? Who is the idiot that thinks the American people are stupid enough to actually believe his load of baloney? Well, during his testimony before the House Appropriations State and Foreign Ops Subcommittee, the administrator of the U.S. Agency for International Development — why does the U.S. even have an agency for international development? How much money, how much taxpayer money gets sunk into that bog of bureaucracy, I wonder? Rajiv Shah, I think that's how you pronounce the man's name, said, "We estimate, and I believe these are very conservative estimates, that H.R. 1 will lead to 70,000 kids dying. Of that 70,000, 30,000 would come from malaria control programs that would have scaled back specifically. The other 40,000 is broken out as 24,000 would die because of lack of support for immunization and other investments, and 16,000 would be because of a lack of skilled attendance at birth." Are you mad? You expect people to believe this load of horse shit. I know you have no respect for the American people. You don't respect the American voter. Liberals never have. They respect one thing, big government. They'll do and say anything to get big government, get bigger government, which has to have more taxes, more revenue from people who actually work and do something with their lives, unlike most liberal elites. Unlike this idiot who made this statement. I just go back to what I wrote on my blog. I think we grasp why this walking brain donor made the statement. He wants to panic Americans, demonize Republicans. But really, is there anyone in America stupid enough to buy this load of steaming dung? Okay, there are those who listen to progressive radio and watch MSNBS's Not Lineup every night, but anyone else? Good grief, this might be the most pathetic statement I have ever heard. Someone call the barrel makers, the Democrats, have busted through the bottom of theirs. It's true, my friends. This is absolutely despicable. This type of rhetoric, this type of hyperbole. And then the Democrats have the unmitigated gall to accuse us on the right, Republicans, conservatives, of fear-mongering and trying to scare people. Every time a Republican mentions tax cuts, a Democrat's going to come out of the woodwork and they'll scream racism, children are going to die, there'll be blood in the streets, grandma's going to choke to death, you won't be able to buy pastrami in New York anymore, the water will be polluted, the air will be polluted, birds will kill us. It's always something. It's always some stupid thing these idiots come up with. And would you please stop listening to it? I'm referring to you people who actually gobble up this stuff and repeat it back. You know, the callers to progressive radio. Who listen to these talking points and actually believe it. Take the tinfoil off your head. Come out of the basement. Stop fearing the black copters. Come out in the sunshine once in a while. Seriously, read something more than what the mainstream media gives you. Now let's talk about a little PC. You know, Easter's right around the corner. And well, the political correctors are back at it. Someone may be offended by the term Easter egg hunt. So, to be preemptively politically correct, because someone might be offended, so we have to stop something before it offends somebody it hasn't offended yet. Easter egg hunt, that term is divisive and racist and bad, so it has to go. We've got to have a spring egg hunt. Look, I'll make this really simple. The holiday is Easter. It celebrates the birth of Christ. Excuse me, not the birth, the resurrection of Jesus. That's what the holiday is. If you don't like what the holiday is, then don't celebrate it. Okay? Shut up about it. Quit trying to ruin it for everyone who actually enjoys it and all the American traditions that go along with it. It's like I would say to, and I have said, to some social conservatives, if you don't like Halloween, stay inside, lock your doors, hide under the covers, and shut up and let the people who actually enjoy it go about their business. If you're offended, the problem's you, not someone else. But this happens in Munson, Ohio, which is a northeast Ohio community. They're taking the Easter out of the egg hunt. As the White House prepares for its annual Easter egg roll, no word if Michelle Obama is going to hit kids in the head and make sure they don't eat the eggs, or maybe only the egg whites of the eggs because the cholesterol will get you. A tradition dating back to 1878. Some in the community of Munson Township are asking if it's okay in Washington. How could the word Easter offend someone in this small rural community? Well, if the word has offended anybody, again, it's their problem, and I'm not even sure it has. This may be just one of these situations where someone is wanting to be a pain in everyone else's butt. But still, township trustees are opting to call this year's Easter weekend event the Spring Egg Hunt. Munson homebuilder Enzo Profeto is putting up the $600 to put the sponsorship in private hands and the Easter back in the egg hunt. So there's guys stepping up and playing, saying, you know what, I'll sponsor it. Here's $600. Let the ninnies and the nannies go away and let the adults and the children and the real people celebrate. Bravo for him. Now, the decision to have the egg hunt privately sponsored is under review by the county prosecutor. Why does a county prosecutor have his hands on this? Now, Profeto said township trustees have already agreed to calling the event an Easter egg hunt as long as the taxpayers aren't footing the bill. Problem solved, I suppose, right? Problem solved. The near tragedy has been avoided. Now we're all safe from the word Easter. Where are we headed to in this country? Seriously, do we really have to go through this every holiday, Easter and Halloween and Christmas? Stop it. I am sick of the malcontents in this country being allowed to intrude on everyone else's good times. You know what? We should have National Punch a Malcontent in the Face Month. That is what this country needs. Because these people ought to be punched in the face. And you can accuse me of fomenting violence if you want to. I'm not fomenting violence. I'm simply saying what is true. We don't need these people around. And we should ignore them. The leaders, the politicians, leaders of business should tell them to go screw themselves. Take a flying leap. Take a short walk, a long walk off a short pier, whatever the case may be. Shut up. Get over yourself. And while you're at it, take Michelle Obama with you. Michelle Obama, who is, along with Mike Huckabee, the national fatty cop, I guess. What a pair that is, Michelle Obama and Mike Huckabee. Made for each other. They're both about as phony as a $3 bill. But she's declared war, a sword on Jell-O. That's right, Jell-O. And Fruit Loops, you're not safe either. From Michelle Malkin's blog, Michelle writes, "The busy hand of Michelle Obama's loom large. New target, Jell-O, Fruit Loops, and that evil of evils, Minute Maid Lemonade. Via the New York Times, meet the war, or rather kinetic action, on dyed foods. After staunchly defending the safety of artificial food colorings, the federal government is for the first time publicly reassessing whether foods like Jell-O, Lucky Charms, cereal, and Minute Maid Lemonade should carry warnings that the bright artificial colorings in them worsen behavior problems like hyperactivity in some children." You know, they ought to go find out what food or drink causes the hyper-emotionalism and hypersensitivity in these nanny staters. And they should forbid them from eating or drinking those foods or drinks. The FDA concluded long ago that there was no definitive link between the colorings and behavior or health problems, and the agency is unlikely to change its mind anytime soon. But on Wednesday and Thursday, the FDA will ask a panel of experts. Oh, God help us, here come the experts. To review the evidence and advise on possible policy changes, which could include the cure-all of all problems. Yes, the mother of all warning labels. Warning labels on food. That's what we're going to do. Again, here we go. Warning labels on cigarettes. Warning labels on this. Warning labels on that. Why don't you put warning labels on obnoxious liberals like Michelle Obama? Make her wear a shirt all the time. It can even be a really ugly shirt. I understand her fashion sense. And just have it say, please ignore this person. They're a nanny statist, nincompoop. But again, here's what Michelle writes. The food police's regulatory solution, more government-imposed labels, of course. That's going to solve our problems. Like gun control ends violence. What a wonderful world these people live in, folks. What a wonderful existence they live. That they can just put a label on something and all the problems go away. Whatever answer to whatever fabricated problem they want to come up with next is found in government. A government label, a government law, a this or that. See, it's just wonderful being a liberal. You don't even have to be an adult. Because you can come up with these childish solutions, your bumper sticker mentality, the ideology of convenience. What a wonderful thing it must be to be a liberal. Living in a vacuous mental state all the time. Now let's talk about something that concerns me and concerns, I think it will concern you. Something concerning American soldiers, female soldiers. They're being encouraged to don something during operations in Afghanistan. They're being told or encouraged, to wear a hijab, which is like a scarf that covers the head because, you know, Islamists freak out when they see women have hair. I guess they think women are bald like Telly Savalas or something, I don't know. Via the Daily Caller, in an effort to get closer to the local population, American female soldiers stationed in Afghanistan are being encouraged to wear a Muslim headscarf when interacting with civilians. But some question whether the practice constitutes cultural sensitivity or a form of appeasement that is degrading to the U.S. soldier. I'd go with the appeasing part and wouldn't have any part of it. If people in Afghanistan cannot recognize that we've been there helping them for years now and are there to help them and protect their freedom, then to hell with them, frankly. Maybe we shouldn't be there anymore. Maybe we should just say, you know what, if that's the best you got to the Afghan people, we'll just go away now. I have another story a little later about something happening in Afghanistan that's not very tolerant, if you will. Now, Major Kendra Rotunda, who's the executive director of the Military Law and Policy Institute and AMVETS Legal Clinic, told the Daily Caller that while the women are not being ordered to wear the headscarf, encouragement is tantamount to a demand. They say they are encouraging women to wear the headscarf when they are out and about on patrol. But the problem is, and I think anyone who has been in the military understands, that being encouraged to do something is about the same as being ordered. It really puts them in an uncomfortable position. When their commander says, we really want you to do this, technically you don't have to, but we really want you to do this. How about this? How about the U.S. military stops playing games, stops being politically correct, stops having gay sensitivity classes, just goes out, does their thing, and then goes home and doesn't worry about hurting people's feelings. We keep getting stuck in this sensitivity syndrome. This is not good for this country. Not good at all. Everything we do, we can't have the military run this way, folks. Can't do it. It just is going to cripple our military. And look, that's, as I've said before on this show, that's the goal, I think, of some people on the left. They do loathe our military. And they want to do everything and anything they can to make our military impotent. Because they see the American military might as a bad thing, not a good thing. They're stuck on their version, their perverse definition of equality. And it's unfair that America's richer and more powerful than other countries. And they never seek to take other countries and say, look at America, emulate them, copy them, do what they do. They never say, look what South Korea does, look what Japan does, look what Australia and other countries do, other westernized countries. Do what they do. No, they always want to bring those successful countries down. That's the Marxist way to do things. And we all know that liberalism is just a couple steps away from Marxism, even if they'll never admit it to themselves. Now let's talk about Amnesty International. Amnesty International, I think Bianca Jagger, she may jog too, I don't know, but Bianca Jagger used to be a big spokestool for them. But Amnesty International, with a name like that, you think they would be interested in human rights across the globe and they'd be condemning any act of legitimate human rights violations. But no. No. This is what they say. They're mad at Canada now. From the Star, Ottawa, the Harper government has eroded Canada's global reputation as a human rights champion, says a respected international watchdog. Now, that's a little media bias there. I don't know anybody who has respect for the Amnesty International group that has a clue about what actual human rights are. But the scathing report by Amnesty International does not specifically name the Harper conservatives, but it raises many frequent criticisms of Tory foreign policy, including a tilt toward Israel in the Middle East. It's always Israel's fault. And the defunding of non-governmental agencies such as Kairos that have publicly criticized the Tories or sided with Palestinians. Well, you should defund anyone who defends the Palestinians, frankly, because they're dead, flat, wrong in their conflict with Israel. If it was up to Israel, there'd be peace there. If it was up to Palestinians, the Israelis would all be dead. Israel needs to go in and flatten where these people are, clean them out, get them the hell out of there, let them go somewhere else. Let them go live in the homes of people from Amnesty International. Let's see how they get along with them. But Amnesty has called on party leaders to use the federal election campaign to restore Canada's commitment to rights at home and abroad. In other words, to become a cesspool of leftist ideology. No longer the champion, more and more Canada is perceived to be a country that is reticent to take a consistently strong stand for human rights, Sometimes Canada now is also seen as part of the problem, not the solution, said Amnesty Secretary General Salil Shetty. Well, that sounds like a lot about just like what the left says about America and Israel. So wear it as a badge of honor, Mr. Harper. And Canadians should all wear it as a badge of honor, too. Every single one should be damn proud they're being talked about this way. There's been an erosion of Canada's past policies, including a principled and nonpartisan reputation in the Middle East, Shetty continued. Now, the report says the government's unflinching refusal to criticize Israel's human rights record has eroded Canada's reputation in the Middle East. So, in other words, what they're really saying is, because Canada will not falsely accuse Israel of committing human rights violations, they're going to not be in good graces with the sons of motherless bitches, the terrorists, who are constantly attacking Israel and killing Israeli children and civilians. My God, Hamas and Hezbollah won't be happy with Canada anymore, and Amnesty International will cry. It's so sad. You know, Amnesty International, you should do something. You should go have a Hug Hezbollah and Hug Hamas Day. You go hug those sons of bitches. You go hug those bastards. Maybe they'll cut your heads off. And at least we won't have to listen to your constant, impotent bleeding about something you have no damn clue about. If Canada's smart, if the leadership's smart, they will tell Amnesty International to go fuck themselves. Yes, again, I don't use the F-bomb very often in this show. But Amnesty International, go fuck yourselves. Okay? Leave Israel alone. Israel isn't the problem there. The Palestinians are. Hamas is. Hezbollah is. Terrorists are. Iran is. Syria is. There's many problems over there. None of them are because of America, or because of Canada, or because of Israel. They're because of anti-Semitism and jihadism. That's the problem in the Middle freaking East. So shut up and go away, Amnesty International. And listen to this statement. I just have to include this. Serious violations committed by the Israeli government have on occasion, been described as a measured response. And Canada's voice was noticeably moderate when hundreds of thousands of Sri Lankan Tamils faced grave peril in early 2009. Now, Harper used that phrase, measured response, in July of 06, to describe Israel's decision to bomb Lebanon in retaliation for, listen closely, the kidnapping of two Israeli soldiers by Hezbollah terrorists based in that country. In other words, Israel defended itself, and Amnesty International thinks that's just, oh my God, you can't defend yourself. You've got to let terrorists come kill you, so we'll call you tolerant, and you can feel better while your head's cut off, I guess, Israelis. Is that right, Amnesty International? Again, go fuck yourselves, you pieces of human trash, you moral retards who don't know the difference between right and wrong. What a joke Amnesty International is. What an absolute joke. Speaking of jokes, let's talk about Ed Schultz. Ed Schultz had a caller to his show. He has a radio show, you know. And he's talking about the situation in Libya. And this is what the caller says. I'm with you on this. I mean, I feel comfortable standing behind this administration a lot more than I did the last. And given the situation, I would think we definitely have to have some kind of covert action going on, and it shouldn't have been leaked out. But, I mean, we can't just go in there and start arming random people. We got to know who we're arming, for one thing. But I like to think that we're trying to, more to disarm Gaddafi more than we are actually trying to arm people. Again, this is a liberal caller. Be patient with them. And I would think that would take some covert action or, something on the ground. And then Schultz pipes in, well, why are we concerned with who gets arms? I'm just for conversation now. I mean, if they're going to take out Gaddafi, hell, they can't be all that bad. The problem is that many, I think about 1,000 of these rebels fighting Gaddafi, I think that's what's left now, about 1,000, they have links to Al-Qaeda, Ed Schultz. Al-Qaeda's bad. They're terrorists, Ed.
You do know what a terrorist is, don't you, Ed? Yeah, Ed, they're terrorists. Are you really this stupid? You don't care who they are? You don't care who they are. They don't care if they're Al-Qaeda and Libya becomes a haven for Al-Qaeda training camps, Ed. You remember 9/11, Ed? Al-Qaeda training camps in Afghanistan that were left unchecked led to 9/11, Ed. You connecting the dots yet, Mr. Schultz? Or is your head just so far up Obama's ass that he can do no wrong? Maybe that's it. How about some music, folks? Good tune this week. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm going to let you guess as you listen. Enjoy. And we'll be back in just a few moments, a few minutes, to continue this exercise in greatness.
We're going to do an old song by Jimmy Rogers called Give Me a T for Texas, a T for Tennessee, huh? Put your hands together on this out a bit. Thank you. out of me. Yeah.
And welcome back, my friends. Little Lynyrd Skynyrd, T for Texas, one of my favorite all-time songs. If you're a fan of great guitar players, as I am, that is an all-time classic. Now, let's get right back into this show. There's a great piece up at the American Thinker, a great column written by Jeannie DeAngelis. And there's something about the Obama administration that is being kind of put on the back burner that needs to be moved up in importance. So we're worried about budget battles and Obamacare and union thugs and this and that. We're forgetting something else, our national security. And this is a disturbing piece. In Barack Obama's economy, DeAngelis writes, it appears as if making a philosophical point is worth the loss of American lives. For example, in an appeal to the gay lobby, Obama mandated that in the midst of a war, our military be purposely distracted from the pressing issue of defeating the Taliban by giving precedence to gay sensitivity training on the battlefield. In addition, the president of the United States seems committed to strengthening America's enemies by ignoring the true motives of those whose intent it is to do us harm. On more than one occasion, after military personnel were murdered in cold blood by Alia Akbar, screaming terrorist, Obama, careful not to be offensive to Islam, refused to refer to terrorism as such. Instead, rather than condemn the obvious and emotionless, Obama called an act of holy war, a horrific outburst of violence, leaving the judgment of jihadists to formal inquiry. North Korea and Pakistan are nuked up. Iran and even Venezuela are careening in that direction. China and Russia, try as they might to pretend otherwise, are poised for a military alliance, while Obama's world without nuclear weapons national security policy is at work undermining America's ability to defend itself. Again, this goes back to Jimmy Carter. Disarm. We got to let everybody know they don't need to fear us. Peace through strength worked. Carter never got that. He still doesn't. Obama doesn't get it. In the hopes of spurring a denuclearization discipleship in an increasingly dangerous world, Obama decided to emasculate the United States through disarmament. Barack's nuclear-free world mantra is devoid of peace through strength, trust but verify, and beware of evil in the modern world. In a schoolyard full of bullies dying to take a shot at America's skull with a baseball bat, little Barry has chosen to come to the fight with a water pistol. To prove his unwavering commitment to a nuclear-free world, the president signed a treaty with Russian President Medvedev to reduce deployed strategic nuclear warhead arsenals, listen closely, by 90%, from 31,000 to 1,500. Such an irresponsible resolution points to Barack being one of the two things, diabolical or naive, what I've said on this very show many times. Unfortunately, either way, the outcome is the same. Americans are placed at risk, and our country is fundamentally transformed into an emasculated third-rate power. Maybe Barack just has an aversion to self-preservation because the ratified treaty not only limits America's nuclear arsenal, but it also gives Russia the right to inspect our reserves after the fact and restricts the U.S.'s ability to respond to nuclear attack. Moreover, the START, the name of the treaty, overlooks the disparity between Russia and U.S. tactical nuclear weapon stockpiles and hands Russia's modernized long-range missile programs the advantage. Nikita Khrushchev prophesied that one day Russia would bury America. Now Obama's liberal dream of a utopian world free of nuclear weaponry could turn it into a nightmare for our country by way of annihilation. 50 years after Khrushchev, Obama has provided the gravediggers like Iran and North Korea a shovel. Besides signing a treaty that could potentially cost millions of American lives closer to home, the Obama administration advised ATF agents to allow guns, listen closely, to go to Mexico, where fierce border war rages. Gangs, gunrunners, and violent drug cartels aren't privy to nuclear arsenals. So instead, the administration armed the enemy with good old-fashioned firepower by walking guns into the hands of criminals who use them in Mexico and the United States. Does this guy have a clue? Is he this inept? Or is he truly just that un-American, that anti-American? And the rest of the piece is excellent. Read it at the American Thinker, Jeannie DeAngelis. Good stuff from her. And very important reads, too, folks. Let's talk something else about Obama. How about his wonderful Obamacare? The waiver list grows. It just keeps growing. This program, this legislation was so wonderful, so groundbreaking, that people are just wedding themselves to get as far away from it, get waivers from it, as they possibly can. Why? If it's so wonderful, why are people running from it? And why are so many of those people opting out, getting waivers? So many of them are union people. From the Gateway Pundit, headline reads, T-Mo adds another 129 Obamacare waivers to list. Half are for unions. The Obama administration has now granted well over 1,000 health care waivers. And more than half of the 129 latest waivers went to unions. The Obama administration has rolled out another 129 waivers to one provision of the new health reform law, with almost half of those new exemptions going to various union groups. The extra waivers bring the total to 1,168, giving businesses, health plans, unions, and others an exemption from a portion of the law that in 2011 requires an annual benefit of no less than $750,000. In other words, these 1,168 waivers allow companies to limit health insurance payouts to less than $750,000. Those annual benefit limits will be phased out by 2014, unless, of course, there's more waivers. And trust me, there probably will be if this fool is still in office, particularly as Democrats in the House and Senate. In majorities, that's why it's so important to get the Senate back in Republican hands and get a new president, a Republican one, in 2012. And obviously to keep the House and increase the majority if we can. Because taxpayers keep getting screwed. How about this one? GM screwing you now, GM and Obama together. Taxpayers are going to be on the hook for maybe $84 billion on that GM bailout. Now remember, last November, Obama said, American taxpayers are now positioned to recover more than my administration invested in GM. Hey, sounds great. Sounds great. But on March 16th this year, Congressional Oversight reported something that disagreed to the tune of $25 billion. Full repayment will not be possible unless the government is able to sell its remaining shares at a far higher price. Uh-oh. That's $25 billion, but how are taxpayers losing the other $59 billion? When a company goes through bankruptcy, they normally lose tax write-offs for losses in previous years. Team Obama fixed that problem for GM. GM may not have to pay taxes for up to 20 years. That story from the Bluegrass Pundit, a very good blog. So GM's going to screw you now with Obama's help. He's crippling our ability to defend ourselves militarily. He is by far the worst president this country's ever had. This is Carter on steroids. I mean, Jimmy Carter wasn't this bad. Let's talk about something a little different, though. I always talk about people that are on the left that are so foolish, so smug, so arrogant. And who best fits that description more than Bill Maher? And let's face it, Bill Maher is the ultimate arrogant ass. Because to me, an arrogant ass is someone who has no right to be arrogant about anything, yet they are. And he had Bernie Sanders, who is a socialist and somehow continues to get elected in Vermont, on his show the other night. And they were just indignant. They were outraged that Americans are getting tired of the shenanigans of public employees' unions, the union thugs, and demanding more and more and more when our taxpayers are paying for their salaries. Yes, they pay taxes too, but the benefits they get are far better than most private employees, et cetera, et cetera. And the problem is that, Sanders and Maher can't quite grasp here. The problem is that we can no longer afford, these state governments can no longer afford to pay for these benefits. Maher says, let me ask about this, because there's this pitting in this country now of public workers versus private workers that I really don't understand. We saw what happened in Wisconsin the last couple months. Now in Ohio, the governor there has also passed legislation this week that bars public workers from collective bargaining. And I heard the arguments that from the other side is that these public workers get 6 weeks off, and this infuriates private workers. Well, the problem's a lot deeper than that, Bill, but you're not a deep thinker, I guess. Why? Because America is, unlike every other country in the world, gets almost no paid vacation, and somehow instead of being mad at the corporations saying, you know what, we want 6 weeks vacation too, they'd rather drag other people down. Well, Bill, lots of people get vacation in this country. A good many people do. Sanders, of course, agreed, and he said we should emulate Europe. That's exactly right, Sanders said. Let's be clear, the people in our country as a middle class declines are working longer hours for low wages. There are jobs now being offered that provide virtually no vacation time at all. In America, we should understand this. Our people are now working almost the longest hours of any other major country on earth. People are under stress, they're exhausted, and you're right, we should begin to look at other countries in Europe where people get, by law, 6 weeks paid vacation. And then he went on with some more of their usual baloney. Bernie, Americans have always worked harder. And look, if you can get 6 weeks vacation, great. If the state government can afford it for public sector employees, great. If a corporation wants to give that, great. I know a good many people that get more vacation than that. Or get more than no vacation, or more than a week, or more than 2 weeks. I think that's great. But you know what, Bernie? There shouldn't be a thing where the government comes in and says mandates, because some companies can't afford it, Bernie. You understand that? You understand anything about capitalism, Bernie Sanders, except that you loathe capitalism because you're a communist. You can use the nice socialist tag all you want. You're a communist, Bernie Sanders. And have you all ever seen Bernie Sanders on TV? I'm sure you have. You follow politics. Seen a picture of him, seen him on TV. Bernie, comb your freaking hair, dude. Seriously. You look like a homeless person. You look like one of these people that comes up screaming Bible verses at you and getting them wrong that the world's going to end next week and you'll work for a dollar or something. That's what Bernie Sanders looks like. And besides just being full of baloney and full of socialist rhetoric, this rhetoric that the government just give and give and give and give, it can't. But this is the game the left plays. Part of the leftist strategy, and make no mistake, the Marxist strategy against this country is to overextend government entitlement programs to where they're no longer can be supported. And then they can come in and say, see, we need more government. These corporations are too greedy. We have to have more. We have to scrap capitalism eventually. That's their ultimate goal, is to worm their way into having this country be a Marxist paradise. And of course, I think we all know it will never be a Marxist paradise. It will be a Marxist hellhole, because all Marxist countries are hellholes, because people have no rights in them. People have no liberty, no freedom. And the government determines what people need, when they need it, how they need it, how much they need it, why they need it, why they don't need it, how much of it they get. And that includes the money they make. The Soviet Union was hell to live in. North Korea's hell. Cuba's hell. North Vietnam, hell. Folks, get it through your heads. Stop listening to people like Bernie Sanders. Study your history. Study the history of this country. Study the history of communist countries. Do the math. Let's talk a little bit about this pastor in Florida who I have zero respect for, by the way, Terry Jones. I think he's an asshole. Terry Jones decided he wanted to be famous. He threatened before to burn some Korans, and he burned some Korans, and he's being blamed for something, though, despite the fact he's a glory-seeking asshole, a publicity whore. Despite that, there is something he's right about. He says he's not responsible for the response of radical Muslims over in Afghanistan. Look, when someone burns Quran to prove that Islamists are intolerant, brutal swine, and then they go on a killing spree and kill Christians and attack Christians and brutalize Christians, doesn't it kind of prove that they're right? This is the problem. The majority of Muslims need to get a handle on the Islamists in their own midst. That's the only way it's going to be fixed. Because you know what? This idiot goes and burns a Quran or two. I'm not sure the number he burned. And 11 people are killed by Muslims at the UN compound in Afghanistan last Friday. After prayers, two of the victims were beheaded. Now, which is worse, burning a stupid book or beheading someone? Do those two seem to justify each other somehow? The Florida pastor said the radical members of Islam will find any excuse to kill. I think he's right. They're barbarians. They're swine. That's what I've said. Now, again, this guy shouldn't have burned the books. It's stupid. I think it's nothing but a publicity stunt. I'm not a fan of his. But Islamists, well, they are what he says they are. And Muslims across the globe, if you hear this, get a handle on the people who are killing you, killing everyone else. That's what ultimately will end terrorism, is when the majority of Muslims get tired of it and say, no more. And they start beheading some terrorists. They start beheading some jihadists. You have to put a stop to this. You. The onus is on you. This is your religion they're bastardizing. Now put a stop to it. If you want people to embrace your religion, show that the majority of your religion is not going to tolerate barbarians and cold-blooded murderers. Close the show with a couple of offbeat stories. From my blog, something Ed Daly posted. It's a great headline. 3-year-old to cops. Did you find my mom's weed? You know, how many times have you lost your weed and you got to have your little kid go find it? Or the cops, maybe. Probably not a good strategy. From KVUE comes a story. A young boy helped an Austin police officer find drugs. They say his mother was trying to hide. Oh, they grow up so fast these days. Police arrested 22-year-old Janisha Terry for tampering with evidence and possession of marijuana. She was a passenger in a car police pulled over for a minor traffic violation Monday. See, that's why people shouldn't smoke pot, because it goes from a minor traffic violation to getting put in jail, maybe having your kid taken away, and getting a picture of you in the newspaper that you really don't want in the newspaper. Officer Stay, Terry started fumbling under her seat. After pulling her out, the officer did search the car. Terry's 3-year-old son asked the officer if he had found his mother's weed. The boy then pointed to where the officer could find it, under the passenger seat. Terry was also wanted, what a shocker here, for 3 outstanding warrants. Her bail has been set at $5,000. Who says stupidity doesn't cost you, folks? Who says stupidity isn't expensive? And this is, I think pot should be legal, I'll say it. You can agree or disagree with that. But man, some of the stupidest people I've ever met are potheads. They're just absolutely stupid. And you can't just blame the pot for rotting their brains, because a lot of them were stupid enough to try pot to begin with and not see that it's a dead end thing. It's just a waste of time. Have a beer or something, man. Come on. It's America. Quit smoking grass. There's better ways to have fun. Maybe just by playing with your 3-year-old son instead of having him in the car with you and your pot. Stupid woman. Final story, I guess, is categorized as a weird sex story. From the Heather McCain blog, the headline is California Babylon. Teen girls lie about sleepover and get caught pole dancing in bar. Welcome to the 21st century, McCain writes, where parents have more reasons than ever to worry about their kids. From Modesto, California, a Modesto bar could face fines and loss of its liquor license after police say they found underage pole dancers and drinkers along with other illegal activity at the establishment. acting on complaints, police and officers with the California Department of Alcohol Beverage Control raided a Los Limones bar on March 11th. There were five poll dancers and all, and police called the parents of those who were underage. The two, apparently, there were only two of them, described as being in their teens, had told their parents they were at a sleepover. Arrested were Abel Rodriguez, 35, and Alicia Moran, 41, both of Modesto. Rodriguez was charged with a parole violation and resisting arrest. Moran was arrested on suspicion of possessing narcotics and providing a false name to officers. A security guard was cited for furnishing liquor to minors or allowing them to drink inside the bar. Two girls younger than 18 were cited for being in the bar, and a third girl younger than 18 was cited for consumption of alcohol and apparently also for not being a very good dancer. That's the show for this week, my friends. Good night. God bless. We'll talk to you next Monday. Remember, Chimpsy Radio. Remember our Facebook page. Remember, Chatango, come in here and talk to us. Remember, my blog, thedeligator.wordpress.com, where all these shows are going to be archived. Good night. We'll talk to y'all next week. And remember, if you're left, you just ain't right. Go Gators.